Welcome to Red Zone Sports Wildcard Weekend, six-game banger slate. Boys, I'm ready for the playoffs. I love the consolidated slates. Coaches don't get weird. They go to their guys. They give the ball to their guys. We don't have any Arthur Smith this week, so no random starting running backs getting zeros.
Hopefully, we never have Arthur Smith to worry about again.
Ever again. His fat, dumb face. Did you see that little like meme? It was just a picture of him, and they're just like, that looks like if a gorilla just converted to a human overnight, like transgender gorilla to man. And it's not pretty fucking dead on.
Not even the mustache could save that man from himself.
Yeah.
It was destined.
So there's a lot of positives to the regular season ending and getting to the playoffs. Arthur Smith being gone is one of them. There's many others that I'm sure that we can go through, but we got 12 teams to talk about today. Six games. We're going to go position by position. We're going to talk about some ownership at every position from Jimmy. And then obviously we'll end with our hot takes at the end. Make sure that you hit subscribe, like, share, retweet, follow us, Discord, talk some shit, do it all. Guys, it's going to be a really fun next 5 weeks of shows between the amount of showdown shows that Jimmy's going to be firing up and the amount of main slates we're going to do in consolidated. These should not last an hour. These should fly by pretty quick. So some pretty quick listens for you guys. Guys, I feel pretty good about this week. I know exactly where I'm going. I don't feel too concerned. Vinny, how are you feeling? And then Jim, you can follow him up.
I feel great. Like you said, I always prefer these kind of shorter slates where it's not tiny. But, you know, 5-6 gamer, I think, you know, all the teams are relatively good here. There's obviously some kind of tricky spots when it comes to weather, which I'm sure we'll talk about, but I feel pretty good. I've got pretty much all my lineups built out and set, ready to rock, and I'm ready to go.
I feel fine. I have no
luck. Jim, Mike, not working.
What?
No, he's good.
Vinny, you I'm just good.
Can't hear him.
Nope.
Yeah,
nope,
I'm fine. Right.
That might be me.
this happened also, Joey. That Vinny made me think that I was the asshole and that my mic was fucked up and it was his the whole time.
Jimmy, hey. I had to grow up with this guy. He's the king of that. He just flips it on you.
It's like, oh, it's not my fault.
If you believe the lie, it's not a lie.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
It's the Trump, okay, Costanza. Trump method. Anyway, well, the Costanza method. I feel pretty good. I haven't built a lineup yet. So that's, you know, going to happen here soon. But like, you know, I just opened up ownership for the first time. And boy, was I wrong on where the quarterback ownership was going. I thought I was going to be playing smartest guy in the room, galaxy brain. No one's going to play Mahomes in a negative 30 degree game. And Mahomes is tied with Dak Prescott for the most ownership of the quarterbacks on the slate.
And that is, Jim, just to kind of clarify, when we're talking ownership on this, we're talking the full six game slate, not even the Saturday slate. Okay.
Yeah. So Saturday to Monday. So,
okay.
He's tied with Dak at 20% ownership.
Wow, I did not see that coming, but okay.
You know, we're gonna have higher ownership because obviously it's a smaller slate,
sure. Right?
But there's a guy that I was toying around with, like maybe playing a little bit more, that now I've really just gravitated to two guys that I just absolutely love, and I can't figure out for the life of me why no one wants to play them.
Well, why don't you go and just lead us off and right into it?
Can you run us down, Jim, top to bottom, since we're only working with 12 quarterbacks here? Run down the ownership top to bottom.
Yeah, Mahomes and Dak at 20%. Hurts and Josh Allen at 14%. Jared Goff and Joe Flacco at 10%. Matt Stafford at 5%. Jordan Love, 3%. CJ Stroud, 3%. Mason Rudolph
to my ears.
I haven't even said the guy yet. Mason Rudolph, 2%. Baker Mayfield, 1.5%.
What?
0.0.
Tua Tagovailoa, 1.5.
Okay.
Damn.
Well, that's music to my ears then. So why don't you just roll into who your favorites are, and then we'll just rock and roll.
Yeah, there's so few. I'm not going to worry about how much each guy costs. My top three quarterbacks are going to be number one, Josh Allen. Number two, Jared Goff. And number three, Jordan Love. And based on ownership, I will absolutely be playing Baker Mayfield because that's just flat out ridiculous that he's only 1% owned against an Eagles team that has been an absolute debacle over the last 6 or 7 weeks and can't stop anybody through the air. So those are the guys I'm playing.
Yeah, no, Jimmy, I'm right there with you, man. Allen's my top player. I think Josh, you know, the Buffalo Bills run through Josh Allen. So Josh Allen's my favorite. Jared Goff's my number two, but my number three changes. It's Stafford. And then again, my soft four is Baker at 1%. Like I was thinking about it, but there is something really fun about having that late, the last game hammer, right? And have the quarterback there at 1% to possibly nuke the slate. It's just fun as well. So to have him in the last game going against a very struggling Eagles team, low ownership, low price, it just gives you flexibility to get to these other guys up top. So, yeah, no, I think it's very condensed for me. I'm with you, Jim. Vinny, where's your head at?
So right now my top three highest owned quarterbacks are Love, Stafford, and Flacco. The reasoning for Flacco is just pure and simple that he absolutely just took these guys to the woodshed like 3 weeks ago. I know D'Amico is a good defensive coordinator, but I just think it's more than that at this point. I think it's talent, pure and simple. This game is one of the few that does not have weather implications in a dome in Houston. I think this game could actually go a little bit higher in the points than a lot of people are thinking. And the Browns have just shown that they're willing to throw for your guys' reasons. I love Jordan Love here at, what'd you say, like 3% ownership. He's going to be throwing. Like, we think the game is going to go over. We expect Dallas to pull ahead. I love Jordan Love in this spot. So for me, those are my three highest owned quarterbacks. I'm with you. I think Baker and Josh Allen, you should get some exposure to. I'm full fading Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Jalen Hurts all of the sudden, you know, pops up and beats me this week, I mean, that's fine. Then,
yep.
You know, it is what it is. But like, you know, he hasn't thrown a pass yet all week yet this week.
His middle finger's broken on his throwing hand.
It's broken. He dislocated it. I mean, he couldn't
dislocate
it.
Whatever. It looked
like a cartoon. He was just sitting there like this, right? You know, the bird.
It's an important finger for throwing the football. Not as important as the index finger or the thumb, but it is the third most important finger.
It certainly is, because, like, you know, you see quarterbacks play with like their pinky and then the fourth finger. You know,
you don't need the pinky and the fourth finger. Yeah,
no.
You need these three fingers. You need the shocker, yeah. You know?
I think 100%. Even beyond that, dude, I mean, and maybe I'm biased, you know, being a Niners fan, but like, I'm just absolutely shorting this Eagles team. Like, it's been reported now by multiple sources. If Sirianni loses this game, he's gone. The team's been in shambles the last month and a half. Like, I don't know why anyone's playing this Eagles offense. I mean, Tampa's not great. But I'm like, neither are the New York Giants, who just throttled these guys too, like last week.
Yeah. I've got one guy on the Eagles, and we'll get to it when we get to that position, that I really like, but it's literally one guy.
Oh, I'll have some pieces, no doubt. I'm just saying, I'm not playing Jalen Hurts or like full Eagle stacks here. I do think it's a very sharp play, the Baker side, because no one on Philly can cover. And they actually have good receivers. So I think if you're going to go to that game to stack it, I do agree with you that Tampa's the side.
Yep. All right, guys, let's move on to running backs. Jimmy, what's our ownership looking at here in the running back side?
Running backs will start at the top. Aaron Jones, 28%.
No.
You knew that was coming.
That's still not that horrible.
Hey, I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I'm hopeful.
Devin Singletary, 24%. Isaiah Pacheco, 21%, Rashad White, 18%, Pollard, 17%, just like Fetch. People are going to still go to it. It's never going to happen. Kyren Williams. Yeah. It's if look, if you don't like Mean Girls, then get the fuck out. 17%. Kyren Williams, my favorite, 17%. James Cook, 16%. Jerome Ford, 16%. Jalen Warren, 14%. Swift, 12%. Harris, 11%. A-Chain, 11%. Gibbs, 10%. Monty, 9.7%. Kareem Hunt, 8%. Mostert, 4%. Gainwell, 2.9%. Dowdle, 2%. And Playoff Lenny, 1%.
Wow.
Playoff Lenny. First off, the glaring thing that jumps out, if Raheem Mostert plays, how do you not play 4% Mostert when they're going to run the ball a lot tomorrow night?
Well, here would be my devil's advocate to that. They should have run the ball against Buffalo last week. And they didn't have
Mostert.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, Vinny. Like, A-Chain was healthy. Jeff Wilson was running the ball fine. They just didn't – like, Mike McDaniels has got a little bit of Shanahan in him that, like, as soon as things start going south, he just, like, panics. And the offense just goes to shit.
I do think there's an element because, I mean, you're talking to the biggest A-Chain fan around. Like, I don't think they trust him nearly as much as Mostert. And these conditions are going to be god-awful tomorrow night. So – I do think you see like an uptick in the running game if Mostert's active, you know. I don't know. I'm just saying I'll take some shots at that ownership. That's insane. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, who's your guys' like top three? Let's just keep going with the top three mono.
I think me and Jimmy agree. Kyren Williams is my favorite as well. I love that Detroit has that opposition rank first on there, right, which drives that ownership down, which I like. Kyren Williams makes this offense different, and McShay knows that. When they can run the ball, this offense goes, and he's going to go to him as many times as he can, especially in the red zone, as Cooper Kupp and Nacua aren't the biggest guys in the world, right? So he gives that power element. I like this game just for the over in general. So I have a lot of mixed matching of Rams players and Lions players. I love to hear the fact that Gibbs is 10% owned. I would probably say Gibbs is my second favorite. Right. Like if the Rams have a strength, it's going to be the interior, right, between the three techniques, and Gibbs is going to be the guy on the outside. He's going to be the one getting the screen plays, the passes. And I think Gibbs is my second favorite. And then third, I really do like James Cook just for the pure fact if Buffalo really wants to dominate in the postseason, they need to get the run game going and take the pressure off Josh Allen. I'm banking on that they will try and do that. So those are my top three picks. And Aaron Jones, I think, does explode. I hate the fact that he's 28% owned. But if you believe in him, you got to go with it. You got to be a part of that.
That's still not enough for me to like go away from him.
I think on a six-game slate, there's going to have to be one chalk player that you just play. And for me, I'm fine playing Aaron Jones. He's not necessarily one of my top three. Just because the Packers' offense is just very unpredictable.
It's very spread out.
Honestly, like, I don't know which one of their receivers is going to be the guy that week. It's, you know, Wicks 1 week, it's Reed 1 week, it's, you know, Dobbs another week. I mean, honestly, if I'm playing Aaron Jones, I'm playing him with Jordan Love, and then maybe that's it. I don't know which tight end's going to get the targets. Like, there's so many, like, but like Aaron Jones produces and Jordan Love produces. Those are the two knowns that I'm willing to take a bet on. You could take a stab on some of these other guys if you want to, but that's just kind of
the biggest thing with Aaron Jones is it's finally, like, I think he's played the entire year banged up, and I think that's not the case anymore. He's had over 20 carries three games in a row, over 100 yards three games in a row.
Yeah,
he scored a touchdown, so he's due. So it's like he's finally healthy, and I sent you guys that stat of Aaron Jones against Dallas. He's played three career games against them. He scored, like, some like 7 or 8 touchdowns in 3 games, and he has over like 375 rushing yards. He's from Texas. He plays really well against Dallas. So there's some, you know, obviously everyone knows that, and that's why the ownership is gravitating that way.
I really think you see him used a lot in the passing game here too, right? With Dallas's pass rush, right? Like, they want to get after the quarterback. Like, I could see Love dumping balls off to him all game just to kind of loosen up Dallas a little bit. I'm with you guys, man. Kyren Williams, Aaron Jones, and Pacheco for me are all I have 40% exposure to all three of them. And then it drops down to about 25%. I'm on Rashad White and Gibbs. So most with, you know, some Mostert sprinkled in and some Swift sprinkled in.
So it sounds like we're all paying up for running back in this slate. It feels like I don't like the low options here too much.
I do have one guy down here, but I don't want to piss Jim off this early in the show. So
do it.
I think if you're going to go down
Najee,
there, man,
dude, of course it's Najee.
He's getting like 25 touches a game because that's the only way Pittsburgh has a shot to win this game. So I heard kind of an interesting thing. We all expect Buffalo to blow them out, right? Like that's the expectation here. If Josh Allen comes out and turns the ball over early and Pittsburgh can just plug Najee in between the tackles and kill this clock, and he punches one or two of those in, at his price tag, dude, he pays off very easily. So again, you got to think outside the normal game script for that to happen, but it's not impossible, right? Mm-hmm. Just think about that, like, you know.
I don't see any way in hell that the game is going that way. So that's totally fine. That's why, like, I'm literally full fading Najee Harris, and I'll be playing Jalen Warren instead, because in a game script where they're behind, Warren's the guy.
Yeah, so no, that's cool.
You have to take some stands. You can save totally. $300 by doing that, and you get, you know, you're not going to be able to throw the ball downfield in that game a whole bunch. It's a fucking freezing. I talked about it on the Showdown show.
Yep.
That's really the one that you kind of want to get to, right? It's the same concept as the KC game. Like, they're going to want to get guys who can make plays the ball without having to throw it super far down the field with Mason Rudolph.
Okay? No, I 100%
and Rudolph's, agree. And Rudolph's been playing over his head, and it's all going to hit the fan.
Again, I totally agree with you guys. I mean, we're all on the same page. I bet Buffalo minus 10 here. All I'm saying is, like, we've seen Buffalo come out before and Josh Allen has 2 turnovers in the first quarter, or, you know, someone fumbles in that cold weather and it's like, wait a second, the end of the first quarter, they're down 10-7, and Pittsburgh could just, again, run the ball. It's just an alternative way to look at the game, right? We know not all these games are going to go totally. That's the script. So at that price tag, I'm taking a shot or two on Najee because no one's going to have him. So
I hope
that's all.
I hope he breaks his leg.
That's not very nice, but all right. That's all I got for running back.
So my top three is going to be Williams, is going to be Gibbs, and it's going to be Aaron Jones. But I just talked about it right there. Jalen Warren is going to be very well factored in. I find myself just early on looking at how my builds could go, and a lot of them are going to have 3 running backs just because I would rather play Warren in the flex at 5,100 than some other receiver, right? I also really, really like Achane at 6,800 for the same reasons I like Warren, because they're not going to be able to throw the ball downfield a whole lot in that game. It's just going to be hard to do that. They wouldn't be able to get that guy the ball in space. And in games like that, the offense definitely has the advantage, and especially when you're getting it to explosive players, right if like one or two guys slip, that guy's going 90 yards for a touchdown, right? So I don't love that he's priced up at 6,800, but I will be taking some stabs of him, and I mentioned it on Showdown too. He is my favorite Showdown captain if you're just going to play a single. So
cool.
Wide receiver.
Let's Joe, you want to do this off? Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because I'm paying up at running back in a lot of spots this week. It's kind of tough to get up here at wide receiver in certain areas, but I love Amon-Ra St. Brown in Cooper Kupp and that game. I just love that game. There's going to be a lot of throwing, and I think there's going to be a lot of points. Mike Evans is a guy that I think is maybe going to go a little bit underlooked. I mean, we'll hear about some ownership here in a second, but Mike Evans, death taxes in Mike Evans. And Mike Evans is a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and he's going against Philadelphia. He can fit perfectly into those Baker stacks that you're looking for. I think we're guaranteed a Mike Evans touchdown. We're just hoping he gets those 7-8 catches, you know, which is, you know, yeah, not happened every time this year, but you're just hoping for a high volume type game for Mike Evans. But I think there's a guaranteed touchdown. So I'll kind of stop there. The 6,900 mark, we'll talk about these top tier guys. And then we'll go down.
Well, you guys want to hear some ownership first?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry, I jumped the gun. Vinny set me up and I just fucking teed it off. And then I was like, wait, I wasn't supposed to hit there.
Gotcha. I've been listening to some podcasts, a few different podcasts, who people are talking up. I mean, games start tomorrow. So like this six game slate locks tomorrow. Right. I'm very confused about who people are rostering. So let's talk about it. The highest owned wide receiver on the slate, DeMarcus Robinson, 29%. It's a price thing. I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The next one, AJ Brown, 28%.
Okay.
The next one, Elijah Moore, 25%. The next one, Jameson Williams, 22%.
Dude, they're just trying to save money.
We don't even get down to CeeDee Lamb until we hit 20%.
So real quick, time out. This is why I'm not paying up at quarterback, really. I have one Josh Allen lineup and everybody else is going to be low because that's what people are doing, right? By paying up a quarterback, they're going to get one big gun receiver and they are going to go down to DeMarcus Robinson, Jameson Williams, Elijah Moore, and that's the chalk build this week, it seems.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Tyreek Hill, 18%.
Great commentary, Ben.
Rashee Rice, 17%. Robert Woods, 14%.
What?
Bobby Trees.
Again, he's 3,600.
I get it. Like, I get it. Wow. But it's like there's Amari other guys in that range that make more sense. That's Amari why I'm saying Cooper, wow.
Who's going to be one of my favorite plays, 12%. Brandon Cooks, 12%. Devonta Smith, 12%. No interest in. One of my favorite guy in the whole thing, Joey, guy you just mentioned, Amon-Ra St. Brown, the sun god himself, 10%.
No.
Bo Melton, 10%. George Pickens, 10%. Stephon Diggs, 10%. Nico Collins, 10%. Noah Brown, 9%. Deontay, 9%. Cooper Kupp, 9%.
Sweet.
No one's.
I do have a build with Amon-Ra and Kupp on the other side of it.
The entire, based on this ownership, the entire Detroit LA game is going to be severely underowned. And I have no idea
why.
That's
crazy. That's insane. Mike
Evans, 6.8%. Puka, 6%. Trey Palmer, 3.5%. I mean, if you're looking for salary savings, Trey Palmer is a legitimate part of the Tampa Bay offense. He's their third receiver.
Right.
How about this? Dontayvion Wicks, who's a legitimate part of that. When Christian Watson's out, Dontayvion Wicks is likely the number two wide receiver. 2%. Khalil Shakir, 2%. Okay, so like people are trying to jam in DeMarcus Robinson and all these other guys. Shakir's 34.
Sorry, you just said Shakir's 2%.
2%.
Okay.
So he will be my pay. So like Trey Palmer,
yeah, exactly.
Like you're going to need some pay down guys, right? But if everyone's going to go to DeMarcus Robinson and to Jameson Williams and to Robert Woods, I'll just go to Trey Palmer and Khalil Shakir. And go on my way from there. Mm-hmm. as anybody. Josh Reynolds, I think, is also would also be an interesting.
Josh Reynolds.
3,800, 1%.
I really, really like Josh Reynolds.
Is there anybody else down here worth mentioning? If you really want to get some value and pay down, Kadarius Toney, 3,200. So yeah. Anyway, so for guys that I like, we just kind of hit on it with Joey. Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be my favorite guy. Number two is going to be Mike Evans, and number three is going to be Amari Cooper. Now, having said that, I really, based on ownership, I'm going to find a way to make a Stafford, Cup, Puka, St. Brown lineup work. You can make it work. I'm going to find a way to make that work. It's just like they're just too under-owned. The highest-owned guy in that game so far that we've seen is Kyren Williams, and that's like 17%. Like, if you're looking at – we only have six games here. Two of the games have some of the worst weather that we're going to experience out of any NFL game this entire year.
Right.
And people are choosing to roster players at an unbelievable pace in that. And then this, like, A.J. Brown, 28%, he didn't even practice today. So, like
– and he again, going back to the Eagles shambles, apparently he went ahead and just like scrubbed his whole social media of Eagles stuff. Like, yeah. Like the team is just absolutely crumbling in front of our eyes. But if people I'm going to have 0% AJ Brown. I'll tell you that right now.
Yeah.
So, I said all my lineups are already built. I have 50% Amon-Ra St. Brown right now.
Great.
I absolutely love that spot. I have Reed, then Shakir and Robinson kind of mixed in because I think they're just easy pay downs. And then CeeDee Lamb, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, Cooper Kupp. Like, I'm just – I love this because, like, I'm not overthinking it. I'm just building differently, apparently, than everybody else in the universe, and I feel really good about it. So, as long as these games go to script.
Yeah, but like we said it earlier, right, like – you have to take a stance, and apparently a lot of people are taking opposite stances of what we're taking. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
Cause I'm more than happy to play Amari Cooper when nobody else is, right? Like it's
Mike crazy, Evans, man. The guy who at any given time can go for three touchdowns and just nuke a slate. Mm-hmm. Like Mike Evans is that guy, right?
He's healthy too.
Yep,
he's healthy, and the Eagles can't cover anyone. They just got destroyed again by Darius Slayton and
I just find the amazing part is everyone's on DeMarcus Robinson, but everyone's ignoring Khalil Shakir with Gabe Davis being out.
I like both of those guys. I think those are my two favorite pay down for sure.
Like he's going to be Shakir is going to be incredibly owned. Now, we haven't gotten to tight end yet, and I haven't looked at any ownership. So what people could be doing, Joey, is they could be just hammering the ownership onto Kincaid, which would make some sense, right? But, like, I mean, Gabe Davis garners quite a few targets. And, again, in a shitty, poor weather game, like, this wouldn't be a Gabe Davis game anyway, right? Mm-hmm. This is, like, getting it to the slot receiver – and, like, it's just, like, an easy throw. You just keep moving the ball, right? The Steelers are a good defense, right? They're not a great defense, especially with no J.J. Watt. But they're going to try and take away – or T.J. Watt. But they're going to try and take away Diggs as much as they possibly can, right?
Right.
So, you know, get the ball to Shakir. I just don't see how he's so low owned. Like, I'm with you guys.
It's crazy. It's
pretty crazy.
And like, I don't understand. So Jaden Reed is mispriced at 5,700. Like he should be. He. I have no idea why he's $1,000 less than Devonta Smith. No idea.
Yes, I don't know either.
And I also don't know why. I mean, I don't hate Rashee Rice. Like, if you want to play a receiver from that game, he's going to be 16-17% owned. But like, he's he's the option there. It's just, again, we talked about it. It's going to be tough to throw the ball and catch the ball in a game.
Well, look, and the Dolphins, like, their secondary is fantastic, right? They're going to have Howard out there. They're going to have Ramsey out there. They're getting them. Oh my God, Holland back at safety. I know they lost. Oh my God, Chubb, the defensive end. But
yeah,
look, the reality is you're not going to get a crazy pass rush on an icy field, anyways, right? So you're really relying on these corners to jam these guys up and just play good man defense. And I think that's what's going to happen. If anything, like, the best bet in that game is Mahomes over whatever his rushing yard total might be. Because I think just goes man's up and they go, good luck.
Well, we're transitioning. That's a good transition over to tight end, because it's my personal opinion, and he's going to be a little bit higher owned, but I think this is a Kelce, like, 11 catch, 90 yards and a touchdown type of game. Because you mentioned injuries for Miami. They're on their, like, third string or whatever guy they were able to sign, middle linebackers. Both of their middle linebackers are gone. And you talked about Hall and not being 100%. I mean, he's going to get a lot of – they already throw a lot of those, like, 5 to 7 yard routes to Kelce. There's going to be a lot of those this week.
Mm-hmm. Just find the zone.
And he's the quote unquote chalk at this position that I'm more than happy. Aaron Jones and Travis Kelce are going to be the two, and they're not even, like, Travis Kelce's 19% owned. That's not a huge deal to me. I just think that's the way, the route that Mahomes is going to go this week, and it's going to be difficult for them to stop that, especially where they line up, unless they want to line Ramsey up and have him follow him around, which they could do, but I don't think that they will do that. So tight end is going to be a little bit interesting this week.
Can you talk some ownership?
Yeah, so Njoku's going to be the highest owned at 23%. Travis Kelce, 19%. Schultz, 17%. Goddard, who's my second favorite, 16%. Ferguson, 13%. Tucker Kraft, 11%. Kincaid, only 10%. See, like, it's so easy to play a Josh Allen stack with Josh Allen, Shakir, and Kincaid.
Yes.
And no one's going to play that stack. Right. Sam Laporta practiced today.
Insane.
Crazy.
I thought he tore his ACL, but apparently not. Full participant in today's practice with no limitations.
Wild.
So he's apparently playing. Tyler Higbee also practiced today. He's coming in at about 8%. Kate Otten, 5.5%. Knox, 3.9%. Friermuth, 3.4%. And then random people.
How about some Kate Otten?
That's the guy.
I keep finding myself in this place where I
need to, like, almost pay down for tight end, because I do. I'm liking to go up in certain areas, and I'm like, Kate Otten in a Baker and Evan stack. Because at 3,100, we're just looking for Kate Otten to get 3 catches and a goal line touchdown, right? And it's like, thank you.
Yeah, he just doesn't even get enough targets, though. Like, all the goal line targets, they all go to Evans. I mean, they're just
in the last 2 weeks.
It's only
because of price. Like, I just need to pay down somewhere, and it's like,
honestly, I would rather go to Knox at 2,900 with Gabe Davis being out. And they're going to play a lot of double tight end sets. And, like, they're going to have, again, you're not going to be able, it's going to be difficult to throw the ball downfield in the type of weather that they're playing. So I would rather go to Knox at 2,900 and just save another. Like, if your pure goal down here is to just save, I would rather just go all the way down to Knox at 2,900 and save the extra $200.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's not a bad call at all. It's a good point.
Joe, I'm with you a little bit more, just because I think, like, once again, I'm just shorting everything Philadelphia, and they're terrible versus tight ends. So I don't think
their linebackers, one of their starting linebackers is a guy that couldn't even make it with the Raiders, which have like notoriously the worst linebackers in the league for the last like 25 years.
Yeah, so it's
dude, the Eagles linebackers suck.
I don't think Cade Otton's going to be the reason you like lose a GPP, but I don't think he's also going to be the guy that helps you win it either, you know, if that makes sense. So if you need a salary filler,
he helps you get to other guys.
Problem with it. Yeah.
And if he gets 10 points, holla fucking Luthia, right?
Right. Okay. I hear you, man.
All right. Let's roll the defense and let's wrap this baby up. Jimmy, what's our ownership on defense looking like? Because this always like helps me actually plan my offenses a little bit, seeing where people are high owned on defense, especially in the playoffs.
Jim's
got up and left.
Just screw your ownership.
He said, fuck defense. I'm not talking about this.
Right here.
He's back.
Kansas City, 14%. Lions, 12%. Browns, 12%. Packers, 10%. Texans, 10%. Steelers, 10%. Bucks, 8.3%. Dolphins, 7%. Bills, only 7%. I don't know how that's possible. Rams, 5%. Cowboys, 5%. And Eagles are the cheapest.
Well, I think the Chiefs are probably my favorite. I don't really care about the ownership wise on the defense this week. I just cannot imagine Tua throwing in these conditions, right? And Chiefs have a good defense. Spagnuolo's going to fucking pull some shit out of his ass. And again, Tua does not have a strong arm. He anticipates quite a bit. And it's like he's going to be anticipating with like Tyreek or Waddle coming out of a break and like someone's going to fucking slip. And the ball is just going to float out to a safety and get a pick, right? I think the Chiefs, I like the under in this game. I think the Chiefs just honestly make Miami look like shit in this whole new greatest show on turf thing. And it's like, yeah, well, you're not on turf. You're on ice.
Well, so this isn't going to work out so well for you. This is going to go down as one of the coldest games in NFL history. They're expecting with wind chill the start of the game to be negative 25. So to your point, I'm just playing Dolphins Chiefs as much as I can. A little bit of other stuff because, like you said, there's going to be plays in this game where like a guy just gets the ball punched out because he can't feel the ball. Like it's going to get fumbles. Blocked punts, blocked field goals. Like, there's going to be some weird stuff in this game, which is why I ultimately didn't bet the spread. Because who knows? It's going to get weird.
All Tua does is his throws are all anticipation throws, right? And it's like, you can't anticipate much when your guy is trying to break off a route in ice. You know, Tyreek's speed is neutralized. Waddle's speed is neutralized in this.
We played in Minnesota, Jim and I, in like 11 degree weather, and that was absolutely miserable. I can't imagine minus 25 feel. Like,
yeah, it's insane. At halftime, it was 4 degrees.
You can't feel the ball. You can't feel your fingers.
I was just up in Tahoe and it was 10 degrees and the inside of my pockets were freezing. So I actually couldn't even warm my hands up because the inside of my pockets were cold.
Right? So imagine minus 25 with wind.
Like, no, and you're getting, and your quarterback's from the islands.
Like, this game's going to be absolutely bonkers, dude. So I'm just playing these defenses as much as I can. What did you say?
Yeah.
The quarterback's from the islands, dude. Like, the guy's never, like no, I'm not doing it.
It's true.
And Miami's candy-ass uniforms. It's not. Nothing's going to work out well for them this weekend.
Their uniforms.
Dude. Candy-ass uniforms. Dude, those uniforms in cold weather just don't fly. Sorry.
Whites. Maybe they can't see them. Maybe it's an advantage. I don't know. Just spitballing here. Things can get weird.
I think you can see Tyreek unless he wears white leggings and white sleeves and a white ski mask.
I heard Mark Sanchez talk about how like don't be surprised to see every player wearing wetsuits under their uniform because that's like the only way you can wear to like layer up. It's like wetsuits.
I would wear a super thin wetsuit. Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah, cool. So yeah. I'm playing a lot of Dolphins and Chiefs because to your point, I think it's the under. I think there's turnovers for sure. Whatever. I'll move on after that, you know.
I mean, my favorite, they're a little more expensive, but it's the Bills. I'm just going to bet against Mason Rudolph.
And yeah, that'd be smart.
you know, and at I get what you guys are saying, but anytime I can, I think I can get, you know, 12 to 15 points at like 7% ownership. That's something I'm just going to go ahead and do. I also don't think that if you want to pay up, I think the Cowboys are a pretty good bet. Yes, Jordan Love has played great. He's not immune to turning the ball over. And that team, Aaron Jones has a fumbling problem. They can turn the ball over. And Cowboys, with their team speed, they've got guys like Diggs who like to guess. The other guy who's got more return touchdowns, he broke the record this year. They like to guess, right? So they give up some touchdowns. But from a DFS perspective, I mean, all it takes is really one return for a touchdown, and you're really looking good, right? So
I think that's fair. At the end of the day, dude, all these defenses are in play. Like, again, I have a lineup with the Packers D. Why? Because it's the playoffs, and Dak Prescott absolutely pisses himself in the playoffs. So that was the other thing. Like,
I'm definitely going to be playing a little bit of Steelers.
100%.
Just because, again, you know, Josh, they just give the ball away. James Cook has a fumbling problem. Stephon Diggs has a fumbling problem.
Cold, freezing weather in Buffalo. Like, this is not like, don't overcomplicate this. You know what I mean? Like, I think you can play the Texans. We talked about Flacco, like, has been going bananas. That guy also has like six picks in the last 4 weeks. So,
yeah, I mean, if you want to bring that game up, I mean, yeah, the Browns beat them a couple weeks ago, but the Texans were also playing a combination of Davis Mills and Case Keenum at quarterback. So,
no, I totally hear that. I just don't think like CJ Stroud's going to fix that defense, right? Like, that's why I like Amari Cooper a lot.
Yeah, that's fine. I think the Texans are winning that game for what it's worth, but
dude, January Joe's not losing. So
Joe
hasn't seen January in almost a decade.
Dude,
okay.
It's like riding a bike.
It's kind of not.
It's absolutely
kind of not.
I think the Texans are a year early. I think they're damn good. I think they're, dude, like, take away Nico Collins. There's no one on that offense that scares you. And I just think the Browns are well rested after last week. I think it's just a bad spot for Houston. But
all right.
We'll see. Any hot takes, any bold takes? Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
Before we do that, I just wanted to give you guys a little bit of update on the Buffalo weather situation. Okay.
Maybe.
For game time, it has improved.
Oh.
Okay. So Sunday, the game is at 1 o'clock local time in Buffalo, 10 a.m. Pacific. Here's the forecast for the day. Windy. Snow during the morning, but will taper off in the afternoon and remain cloudy only. Winds will drop significantly in the afternoon, 20 to 30 miles per hour, with moderate chance of gusts over 40. Okay, Saturday is going to be sustained winds of 30 to 40 miles an hour with gusts over 50. Okay, so 50. Sunday, so Sunday over the next week actually looks like the best possible day out of anything. It's only going to be, you know, in the mid 20s. So with wind chill, we're, you know, in the like high teens. So compared to Kansas City, that's damn right tropical. That's like literally like a 35 degree difference of what it's going to feel like out there. So just wanted to give you, everyone's talking about the weather in Buffalo. I don't think the weather in Buffalo is anywhere near the type of game that we're going to see in Kansas City. So if you're using that as kind of like, all right, I like a guy in the price point, there's somebody from Kansas City that I could play, or there's somebody from the Buffalo game that I could play. In my opinion, you want to lean toward the Buffalo game because at game time, it's not even going to be snowing.
Right. I think that makes sense.
All right.
Well, we're going to get to bull calls. Before we do that, make sure you like, subscribe, share, tweet, Discord, do it all. Guys, I'm trying to quit my job. Help us out here. Give us subscribers. All right, guys, bold calls of the week. I'll lead us off.
Guy just got promoted to VP. Guy just got promoted to like VP like 2 months ago, and he already wants to quit.
Hey, I want to talk football for a living. That sounds way better. All right.
Yeah, I mean, don't we all?
That's so funny.
All right, bold calls. Let's go with two each.
Two each.
Okay. Right, let me cue that. Can we get some music here?
Yeah.
Some
sorry,
two each kind of music.
We could cannonball it.
Cannonball coming.
Just take it easy, huh? I was trying to pull up my player list.
All right.
You got to turn it down, Ben.
Sorry.
10 or 11. There you go.
We don't want people yelling at us on YouTube anymore.
Yeah, that's true. All right. I kind of want them yelling at us. Chiefs defense is the highest scoring defense of the week. I think they get a defensive touchdown, and I think they get 20-plus points. And I think that's going to be the make or break in a big GPP is having the right defense and a small slate. My second bold call of the week is that Mike Evans will score 2 touchdowns Monday night against the Eagles.
All right.
Not that bold.
Jimbo, you got anything?
I mean, that was pretty bold, Joe. I'm gonna go with Travis Kelce has 30 points because he hasn't done it all season, and it's gonna happen now when they actually need him the entire most is when it's gonna happen. So, and then for wide receivers, it's gonna be my other bold call. I am going to say, I'll say that Amari Cooper has 35 or more.
Yeah, dude, and you I think don't,
the narrative.
You,
well, I think
you guys are hammering like, me for
can't
Flacco.
Do it twice. Well, they're like, no, I never said anything bad about Flacco.
Well, Flacco. All right. I
think you're feeling a little insecure, and you're coming up with your own little, you know,
Joey Flax, January Joe. That's 100%. All right, my bold call. I am saying that you need 2 receivers from the same game in order to take down a GPP this week. And that's Amon-Ra St. Brown and Cooper Kupp. I think Cooper Kupp has been quiet lately. I think everyone's all over Puka. I think I could see Cooper Kupp catching like 12 to 15 balls here and just going bananas. And we all know St. Brown on the other side will be there to answer him. So I like stacks with Kupp and St. Brown this week.
Hell yeah. I got one of them.
You got one?
I got one damn. Yep, I got one damn cup stacks.
All right. Cool. That's all we got. All
right, guys. Like, subscribe, share, Discord, Twitter, do it, X, whatever.
Help Joe quit his job.